So I was just talking to that gentleman. We're not here to cause any trouble. I see you guys got armed guards here. Why would I want to cause trouble? Why would you have armed guards? Are you guys non-resistance?
They're not armed guards.
I'm sorry?
They're not armed guards.
That's a cop with a gun and a billy club and taser, and he can call 50 more guys like him. What would you call that? Why would non-resistant Anabaptists have armed guards?
Because we're looking out for the safety of the community. It's okay. Not right. For us.
It goes against your I'm not telling you I'm non-resistant. I'm just saying it goes totally against the non-resistance mindset. When people see that and they go, armed guards standing there? The gospel. The Bible calls us to spirit and truth worship. We're not here to cause any trouble. So if your elders want to throw me out, they can throw me out. I'm just here to talk to people. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. Are you an elder or anything here?
No.
Okay. Do you know the elders?
Of course I know.
Would they be upset if I'm talking about Jesus here?
No.
Okay, cool. So the gospel to eternal life. I always teach people that there's two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. You're born into the kingdom of Satan, so was I. You have to rebel against Satan, repent, and come into the kingdom of God because of Christ's shed blood and what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And what I like to encourage people with the Mennonites, I just did with that man, is you must go deeper than the Mennonite faith, because Jesus said, put your faith in my blood, my finished work. He's our foundation. Repent, change your mind, change your ways. We came out of the world. We were never Anabaptists. Yes. You must be born again by the Spirit of God. And the fruit you're born again is holiness and obedience, keeping the scriptures, not keeping man-made religion, and you endure in the faith. So that's what's on the card. I just preached the gospel. The problem with the Anabaptist faith is you're keeping a lot of false man-made traditions. Now, I don't know you guys. I'm general statement here. Most Anabaptists do not focus on Christ crucified and go out and preach him and lift up Christ crucified. Most of them pretty much preach the kingdom. And I talk to thousands of Mennonites and Anabaptists a year. I'm a traveling street preacher. They're practicing many pagan holidays, Christmas, Easter, that the Roman Catholics handed down, that God never ordained. Here's one. Do you think Menno, I like to ask Mennonites this, do you think Menno was a godly man?
Somewhat.
I think he was. Do you think he'd be happy that you guys named yourself after a man rather than after Christ? He'd come and rebuke you.
You think?
Does that bother you that a godly man would come? Paul would come and rebuke. Paul did rebuke. In 1 Corinthians, he said, why are you divided? You're of Paul, you're of Cephas, you're of Apollos. Is Christ divided? And I have it on my track, and if you go on the website, don'tperish.com, for free, and we don't have any group we're trying to hawk, we're pushing the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
We're preaching the Word of God. What we like to encourage people to do is go deeper than the Mennonite faith, because Jesus said in Mark 7, if you keep false man-made traditions, your worship of God is in vain. And you guys keep, after we came out of the world, we looked at the Anabaptists and said, can we unite to them? You guys keep a lot of false man-made traditions willingly. The name, a lot of times, the gospel, the focus is wrong. When I talk to Anabaptists, most of them talk to me more about non-resistant divorce and remarriage than they do about Jesus Christ, his shed blood, and preaching the biblical gospel. So the focus is wrong.
Well, to me, it sounds like we're on the same page as far as the gospel. The difference is...
That gospel calls you to obedience,
right.
Which you're not obeying God if you're a Mennonite because you're keeping all those false ways.
So you're totally anti-tradition or what?
I'm for the tradition of God. Paul said in 2 Thess 5, keep the traditions I've handed down. But you're keeping man-made traditions. You're keeping Anabaptist traditions. You're keeping traditions that came along 500 years ago. You know the traditions we're supposed to keep. They came along 2,000 years ago in the first century. So you're keeping the wrong traditions.
Not all man-made traditions are sin.
No, but when you tie them to God and they go against, do you have the authority to make holidays, holy days for God?
Of course not.
You're doing it with Christmas and Easter. God didn't ordain those. The Roman Catholics did.
I'm not ordaining those holidays.
But you're practicing them. Here's one for you. I just brought this up to the other guy. Let me give you a little math lesson. Are you good at math? Good Friday.
Marginal.
Good Friday to Sunday morning. Jesus said he'd be in the grave 3 days and three nights. Is he a liar? How do you get 3 days and three nights from Friday to Sunday morning? You can't. It's a lie. It's a Roman Catholic lie that's being propagated. Jesus died on Wednesday. He rose on Saturday. He's our Sabbath rest. Isn't that beautiful? He's our Sabbath rest. Sunday is the Lord's day. Now, you can gather any day of the week and meet in fellowship, but you can't call it the Lord's day. You can't say he resurrected on Sunday. It's a lie. He didn't. These are practicing lies that you have to repent and come out of. Jesus said, worship in spirit and truth. You guys have anything to say about this?
Spirit and truth.
I got a gospel card for you. Here. I'm here to just talk about it. It's pretty cool. You guys are letting me talk. I'm not here to cause any problem or anything. We're born again Christians, and we travel the country and preach the gospel.
Okay.
I'm James. This is my wife, Debbie. What was your name?
Gerald.
Gerald. And what's your name?
Chris Helmer.
Chris. And we travel the country for free. We don't take anybody's money. And we don't belong to any organized group. So we're not a cult. We're not Jehovah's Witness. We're not Mennonites, Anabaptists. We never were Anabaptists. Here's a novel idea for you. You ready? We're born-again believers following Jesus Christ and keeping His word. We don't need a name. We don't need an organization made by man. We don't need pagan holidays like Christmas and Easter instituted by the Roman Catholics. We don't even need a building. Now, I'm not against buildings. We have a little building we live in when we're on our homestead, which we're never there. But the mindset of, I talk to Anabaptists and they say, there's our church. And what do they point to? The building.
You probably, I agree, but I don't.
Yeah,
so you don't think the early church had any structure whatsoever?
No, no. When you say structure, you mean physical buildings?
Structure.
Oh,
I mean,
no, they had elders, multiple elders to oversee bodies in time, and they had, here's what they had. They had spirit-led. They had multiple elders that were, elder means overseer, okay? So they had multiple elders that oversaw, but they didn't stand in a wooden box and control everything. Everybody in 1 Corinthians 14, all the men, not the women. Women don't teach. You notice my wife is quiet. She does teach women on women's issues. She has a ladies' blog. But the elders oversaw, and then every man get to use his gift. There should be nowhere in the New Testament body where you need permission to stand up and speak at a pulpit or to speak to everybody. It should be an open participatory gathering, not one that starts at 11, ends at 12:30. We do some songs, we do some prayer, this is what we do. Who's controlling that, man or the spirit? That's man. When we gather like in a home fellowship, it could last 2 hours, it could last 8 hours. Remember when Paul preached till midnight? When was the last time your pastor went on for 6 hours and other guys preach and other guys preach? It doesn't happen.
I got an idea. A lot of people would be complaining about getting tired of sitting.
Then that tells you the spirit of them is not for the word of God. It's about their routine. It's in the flesh.
I agree with you.
So that's the pattern. When you said structure, the structure should be the New Testament model, which is multiple elders, when you have them, godly men, that oversee. But either you guys work at a company?
Yes.
Okay. So you got a company. Let's say this is a sawmill. And I own the sawmill. And I hire all you guys to work. And I go, show up at work. And all of a sudden you show up for work. And then I stand there and I go, watch this. And I run the thing. And then I take the forklift. And then I do this. And you're all standing there. And you go, I thought you run this. And I go, I do. I'm going to do it all. And you stand there and watch me. That's not how it works. I hire you. I oversee. I let you do your job and do what you're supposed to do. And God's body's the same way. Elders oversee to make sure that no sin's coming in. Make sure there's order. But then, every man should have a ministry, get up to speak, give a question, give a testimony, be active. Not,
I believe that.
Yeah, see, and that's what the Mennonites lack in general. I don't know about your particular body, but I would guess it's probably pretty normal. They're keeping pagan holidays of Christmas and Easter that God never ordained. Only God can make holy days. Roman Catholics made those holidays. Friday to Sunday morning isn't 3 days and three nights. He didn't die. That's a lie. The Bible says if you practice and keep lies, Revelation 22, you'll be put outside the kingdom. And I told another older gentleman standing here, he goes, well, I don't think I have a problem with that. I'm under the blood of Jesus. And I said, so can we just sin willfully and stand under the blood of Jesus? Or does the Bible say we have to repent and forsake our sin? So if I'm a drunkard and you say to me, wow, James, you're a drunkard, do I have to repent of my drunkenness to enter the kingdom of God? Don't you have to repent of your paganism and your lies and your false ways to enter the kingdom of God? That man told me you don't. And he goes here. And I said, that's a false gospel, sir. God always called people. He did. You're laughing. He goes here. He's an older man. He said he's born a Mennonite. And he said, I'm under the blood of Jesus. And I said, not if you continue in sin or not.
Sounds like.
Are you married?
I know my whole church. I bless you.
Really, sir? I got it on audio. I make audios for safety. Yes, for safety. I make audios. Why, will you say something different on audio than you will? You know, God listens all the time anyway. You can record me anytime. You have a police officer here. You want safety. I use audio for safety. Sounds fair, doesn't it? You have armed guards at a non-resistance place. I think I can use an audio. You can walk away. Go ahead. I don't want you to be on audio if you don't want to be. But let me go back. If your wife had a boyfriend, terrible thing, and she came to you and said, I've had this affair. Forgive me. And you said, I need to forgive. What's the first thing you'd ask her to do? Get rid of the boyfriend.
Yeah.
What if she said, I think I'm going to keep him and go back a couple times a year? Is she repentant?
Yeah.
Does she deserve your grace and forgiveness? or she doesn't deserve God, she clearly. So this is what I'm talking about, like with Mennonites. They tell me, well, I'm following Jesus, we're in this system, but unless you repent of these wrong sins, these wrong things against God, paganism, worldliness. I noticed that your women, I want to go here, I noticed that your women wear dresses and head coverings. Okay, now, I don't think the head coverings aren't biblical. A little bun on the back is not really a head covering. It's supposed to be a veil. It really is. But anyway, and the dresses a lot of times are decorated, adorned. Didn't Peter say not to adorn ourselves? And oftentimes I see Mennonites and Anabaptists, their clothing's very tight. We're not supposed to show our forms off, are we? Okay, so I've been to Anabaptist places and the elders tell me, you're right, we have a problem with that. Here's the problem. I drive by 3 years later, I see the same people doing the same thing. They never handle it. They never deal with it. Now let me go to the men. How come the women have to cover their private parts up, but men don't have to? Did you know, you see what I wear? Do you know what God did in Genesis 3? Let me help you. He killed an animal, first sacrifice. He shed blood, and the Bible says he put us in tunic-like garments to cover our form. So the men and the women both put on tunics. Women wear a longer catascole, that's in 1 Timothy 2. Modest apparel means a long flowing robe. Men wear a tunic garment. It never changed. All the prophets, all the priests, all the disciples, Jesus, because we're supposed to be the example. If I tell my wife she's got to cover her form up and I walk around in jeans, showing my am I being the example?
That's a new thought.
Yeah, that's so on my gospel, I gave you a gospel card, right? I have a website, don'tperish.com, for free. And we're not trying to recruit you to come join me because I travel full time. I'm trying to recruit you to study the Word of God, to really enter the kingdom of God in spirit and truth. This is not the kingdom of God. This is a man.
I agree.
Okay, this, maybe I came here for you. This is a man-made tradition.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah. Why would you stay in it then? Yeah, why would you stay in it?
I am not the, I'm not from here.
Okay, this isn't your body here.
No.
But you are practicing Mennonite.
We are with Mennonites. I don't like to use that name.
But are you united to a body that does?
United as
you go there, sing with them, pray with them.
I do.
Then you're united to it. So you know, Paul says bad company corrupts. So if you know your elders are drunk, and you let him be a drunk, and you keep showing up, you're complicit with his drunkenness rather than saying we need to call him out. So I would encourage you to go much deeper in the scriptures. The word of God is what you need. And if my website would help, if you go to the Don't Perish and you go to the teaching blog, I have lots of articles on the Anabaptist faith. Okay. And if so, you know, I know he wasn't happy. The reason I audio record is for safety. You have a copier for safety. They have a copier for safety. You wouldn't believe it. I'm a street preacher. We go to festivals and we walk around. I preach. The police show up and women tell them he was chasing me and grabbing me. They lie. The world lies. The world hates the biblical gospel. I go and I street preach to the world. I don't just go to these places. I go to the Super Bowl. I go to big events. I go to worldly concerts. I go in the streets. I go to religious places and stand outside. And it's safety. It's wisdom. I can tell the police officer, you want to play this back? And usually I have a body cam on. I didn't bring my body cam today for this. But usually I have a body cam on. And it's for safety. So that's pretty hypocritical for them to have an armed guard for safety. But
not everyone agreed to having him here.
This is strange to me. And that's actually going to be on my website. And I want people to know about that because I find it highly hypocritical. I really do.
I just, another guy was talking to me about it. I said, I don't see why, because we do not have any reason to live in fear.
Fear? I was just telling that man. He goes, well, what if something happens? I said, does your wife and children go to Walmart? I said, that's a dangerous place. An armed shooter could come in.
On the road.
Do you have police following them around? Well.
On the road. To me, we even forget. Being on the road is a dangerous place.
Yes. We know. We travel full time. We're van dwellers. We have a white van over there. We live in our van. I retired early to go and preach the gospel. We go to Roman Catholic places. We go to Mormon places. We go to Anabaptist. We go out in the world. And I just want to wake people up to the slumber of dead man-made religion. It really is. Show up at 10, sing some songs, say a prayer. The sermon's almost over. And then go run your business. Most Anabaptists, most of them, will talk to you about business all day long.
I agree with you.
But you bring up the gospel like it.
I agree with you. And
I challenge, if somebody, I give you a lot of credit, if somebody won't talk about the things of God on record, do they not know God listens every word, sees your thoughts, sees your intention, sees your heart? What are they hiding
I
from?
Agree.
Yeah. So this is the kind of mindset that these, unless you're born again, faith in Jesus Christ, his shed blood, his death, burial, and resurrection, that's our foundation. Okay? Fully God, fully man. it doesn't end there, though. The world and evangelicalism says, well, just believe in Jesus. No, the Bible says repent. We were drunks and worldly people. We had to repent and come out of the world. We had to come out of man-made religion. We can't find organized religion anywhere that's keeping the full word of God. You know why? You can't fill up buildings doing that. Okay? And most people are here because they're born into it, a known tradition. Okay? Can I finish the gospel real quick? So Jesus shed blood, repentance, come out of the world, then come out of false man-made religion as well. And then the Bible says when God sees a willing vessel, you'll be born again. It's not baptism. It's not going to church. It's not joining a membership role. Being born again is a spiritual transformation of your heart and your mind, and it changes your desires. So if let's say you're not born again now, and you go, wow, that's interesting, and you start seeking God's truth, bam! One day the lights come on, and you go, how did I not see this stuff before? I lived my whole life. And you go, I wasn't born again. God just enlightened me, and now I'm being convicted by the sin and pagan holidays and worldliness and the immodesty and pride and vanity and the arrogance of man-made religion. We're anabaptists. We've got it going on.
That has happened to me.
Many of them have that. So faith, repentance, you be born again. The fruit you're born again is not that you go to church, not that you have fellowship with 157 people. Noah didn't have anybody but his family. All right, John the Baptist was alone in the desert, and he was the greatest man that ever lived. He didn't have a fellowship all around him. If you have fellowship with true godly people, that's awesome. I'd love that. I'd submit to these people and be their best worker if they were godly, biblical, holy, separated, keeping the commandments of God. Faith, repentance, born again, holiness and obedience, matching the scriptures, not a man-made religion. And I know you agree with this. We're not Calvinists. You must endure. You have to keep in that faith. And part of that endurance is leaving sin and staying out of sin. And then Jesus says, count the cost. He said, lose your life for me. So you're a young man. You see the world getting darker with this all this COVID stuff. And I think the last days are coming. And this mark of the beast system is growing and all this. People in American churchianity won't even shut off their football. Women won't take off their high heels and their makeup. And Anabaptists won't lose their man-made traditions. Do you think when the guillotine is set up and they go, take the mark or die for Jesus, most of these people are going to say, what?
I agree with you.
They're going to take the mark. So that's why we're calling people out now, because if you won't live for Christ now when it's easy, when that guy comes and says, I'm going to arrest you if you don't recant Christ, it's going to get hard and ugly. I get the cops called on me all the time. I was surprised that they're already here. The Anabaptists called the police on me. Have you ever heard of Pinecraft?
Pinecraft, yeah.
In Florida.
Yeah.
It's a...
I've never been there. I've heard a lot.
You want to see street preaching videos? Go on my street preaching videos. I've been there 3 or 4 times. It's a community of Anabaptists where they go on vacation. And what they do is eat ice cream, ride 3 real bikes, and play bocce ball and shuffleboard. Jesus says, go, preach the gospel, make disciples. And they go down to do all this. I showed up at a public park. Like, let's say this is a big public park, right? Public park. They don't own it. But they've taken it over. I mean, it's, you know, 95% is all in it. I show up and I start street preaching. Call the cops on me. 3 cops showed up. The cop looks around. He goes, he's legal. He's on a public park. He's not bothering anybody. And I stood there. You can see the videos. I preached for hours and hours. A couple of people came up. We talked to them. Non-resistant people calling the police, armed guards, on a guy with a Bible and a wife talking about the things of God. This is the state of Anabaptism. And Anabaptism came out of the evangelicals, and the Catholics and evangelicals were killing them. What I offer you to now is they're so compromised and corrupt, they're looking and going back, going, you know, Roman Catholics aren't that bad, and the evangelicals...
I agree with you.
Because they've lost... They're also linking with, like, the Word of Faith and the New Apostolic Reformation movement with signs and wonders and all the strange stuff. We see more of that going on. So all of these things stack up to say, this is not the body of Christ. Now, are there some people in this body, a body, Anabaptist body, that love God and want to follow Him, and as they learn, they'll come out? Yes. They got to come out. You can't be Roman Catholic and sit in that paganism. You can't be a Mormon and sit in that. You can't be an Anabaptist and stay in that. You have to repent and come out. And this is a test of your love for God. If you're married and your wife goes, I ain't leaving. I have all my girlfriends and the children love it here. And you go, honey, I have to do what God calls me to do. That's a test of your love.
I've forsaken all of my family.
For what?
I used to be Amish.
Okay. So you went one step...
And they told me I'm worshiping the devil. Yeah. And I knew it wasn't because I was addicted to many bad habits.
Yep.
And God delivered me from them.
And the world looks at the Amish and the Mennonites, and they think they're like better, more spiritual, higher up than everybody else. There's as much sin and corruption, as you well know, in the Anabaptist and in the Amish world. And that's why we're not missionaries to this, but we go to call people out and say, listen, you're not better than the world. Don't you think your head covering and your dress and your fellowship is going to save you and your Mennonite name? It's not going to save you. If you're not following after Christ with all that you are and worshiping in spirit and truth and losing that all, Jesus is going to say on the day, away from me, I never knew you. Why does he send them away? He says, you workers of iniquity. You're keeping pagan holidays. You're keeping sin. You keep worldliness. You keep pride and vanity. If you don't forsake that.
I was a part of this church at one time.
Yeah. Yeah. What, can I ask where do you live? What town or what area?
I live in northern Missouri now. What? Well, actually, I live just into Iowa.
Oh, really? What area?
Pulaski area.
Okay, yeah. We're familiar because we used to be from Wisconsin. We sold everything up there, and we bought a small piece of land, and we have a homestead on the north end of the Lake of the Ozarks.
Yeah.
But we're never there. We travel full time, and we travel all over up here in the summer. We go out in all the tourist spots in the summer, and then when the winter comes, nobody's outside doing this stuff. We head down south, and we go to Texas, Florida, South Carolina. We're out preaching all the events and everything. And you've been really gracious. Maybe I came just for you, but I really hope that you go deeper in God's Word, and if my website could help you, and that you realize that if you die in these sins and you're keeping them, and you're united to people, you're complicit with them. You're not holy. You're not living separate.
To me, I guess I kind of feel this is my personal testimony. I'm amongst, like, the church I go to is quite a bit different than this as far as they don't have all these rules.
Man-made rules.
When I say man-made rules, people take comfort in that.
Oh, of course they do.
It's like a checklist.
It's a safety net.
And quite honestly, I feel where I am right now is where God called me, and I have something for them.
You have what?
I have a message for them.
For who?
For the people.
Okay, so here's the problem. That's good that you want to reach them, but I have a question for you. You know about quicksand?
Yeah.
So if you were in quicksand and you're going under, you know, the more you struggle, the more you go under. What if I came across you and I said, I'll save you, and I ran and jumped in the quicksand with you? Can I save
you?
With you. So I don't join them. How do I save you? Throw you the gospel rope, and from firm ground, I pull you out.
So
hold on. So you need, if you want to reach those people, you need to first get your life in full order so they know what a godly man looks like, acts like, talks like, dresses like, lives like, so they have an example. Jesus showed up, he'd be an example. He wouldn't become like them to reach them. Paul said, I become a Jew and a Gentile to reach all men. That didn't mean he changed his dress to be pagan. He changed his ways. What he meant was, that was the difference between the Jewish law, the Torah, and the Gentile law. When the Jews were Jews, Paul spoke to them as Jews. Gentiles, he spoke as Gentiles. It doesn't mean we become worldly to reach worldly people. So what my challenge to you would be is to take a break from that. If that's going to be your mission field, work on getting your life fully in order. Let them see the true transformation. Then go back and don't. The Bible says not to join them in singing and prayer and spiritual unity. Do what I do. Try it. Stand outside with a gospel sign. You want to reach people that really want truth? Stand outside with a gospel sign and say, I'd like to talk to people that are interested in going deeper in the truth of God. You will find out real quickly who shuns you, who mocks you. You go, if there's 100 people there, I'm just going to say this. If there's 100 people that go to that church, let's say there's 100, and you go, I think I'm going to stand out with my sign. I think I'm just going to hold my sign out there. If you do that and one person said to you, I'd like to Bible study with you, I think some of the stuff you're saying is true, you should rejoice and cheer. If one person, most all of them will reject you for the favor of man, the favor of fellowship. So you need to come out of that. So you can't be of them and reach them. That's hypocritical. You can't be of them. And they're not going to respect you if you say, hey, we're in sin and you're practicing sin. They're going to respect you. Now you leave them and you stand and shine your light into them and they go, he left us. I respect that. Be an example.
I guess the difference what I see is, okay, I totally get the thing about dress.
Yeah.
It's something I never...
Right. It's obedience to God. It's what he gave us.
It's something that I believe we all grow in the knowledge.
Right.
And something when I say I am with them... What makes me different than a lot of Mennonites is I don't believe in this system.
Here's the problem. Like I said, though, if you sit with them, if you sing with them, if you pray with them, you're united to them. What if I told you I'm not part of the Mormon church, but I go there and I sing and I pray and I'm united and I do it?
So
you have to come out of that.
Sinners. sinners.
Right. So let me ask you a question. Context. Context is really important. Jesus went into the world and sat with sinners. Did they claim religion in Jesus? No. You're sitting with people that claim Jesus. Different issue. Yes, go into the world. I do it all the time. I go into the gutter. I reach out to the homeless people. I witness to the guy in the $1 million motorhome. Everybody in between. Jesus said, the Bible says, if you have brothers and sisters that are keeping sin, you're not to unite with them. You're supposed to warn them and then avoid them. You know that. That's biblical separation. Probably what the Amish did to you. They separated from you when you left. They're to shun you. The Bible says to shun people that keep sin. The Bible doesn't say to keep going and practicing. So make sure in context, you know, Jesus went to the sinners and he ate with them and he hung out with them and he wasn't partaking in sin. He was sharing the gospel with them, right? And to the people of the world, he said, if your brother's in sin, go to him alone. Take another brother. Take another brother. Take him to the body. If he doesn't repent. So you kind of have that convoluted and you're not going to help anybody being in there. You got to come out of it and be a holy living example. And then anyone that's seeking the truth will go, he left. He must know something. They'll call you up. They'll see your gospel sign. They'll say, what are we doing wrong? You tell them, pray that the Spirit of God convicts them. And they go, thank you for leaving and showing the way, being the example. You stay there. You're not an example. And it, like I said, it already cost you with the Amish. Now get ready to lose most of your Mennonite friends. I have to tell you the truth. Because you will. We lost everything. We lost our family, friends. I lost my career job. But you know what? I'd do it again. I'd do it a lot sooner if I could. I waited way too long to hear the call. Yeah. And so that's what I encourage people is if they test and they go deeper in the Word of God, they're going to see the difference between God's Word, God's truth, spirit truth worship, and man-made organized religion that is dead, full of rules, full of compromised pagan holidays, controlled by a man rather than controlled by the Spirit.
Hello there, I'm James, this is my wife Debbie.
Hi.
Nice to meet you. So you're just down here visiting?
Yep. I used to be from here and I knew they had this going on. And